roll that right into another NFL conversation. I'm joined right now in studio by a four-time Pro Bowler and an All-Pro. He was the 2010 rushing champ. He led the NFL in rushing TDs twice. He is the host of his own podcast, the Now What Podcast. He is a recording artist. He released his debut album, Flamingo and Koval, under the stage name of Bobby Fino. We will get into all that. He is a very good friend of the program. He was on our podcast. He is now in studio live, Arian Foster. My man, it is so good to see you. Arian, how are you?
Likewise, brother. I appreciate the plug on that. That's nice right there.
Dude, that ain't bad at all, right?
You got a nice studio, man.
Not bad. I appreciate you saying it. Listen, you know now, you can appreciate the aesthetic because you have your own studio.
For sure.
How's the podcast life? The
podcast is fun, man. I had no expectations going in. That's really how I live life anyway, but I have no expectations going in. That way so I don't get disappointed. But it's been a journey that I've grown from. And that was the kind of the goal on it on the onset was to kind of explore myself via conversation with other people. And it's been beautiful. I've had like epiphanies mid-conversation, like really. And it's fun. It's growing. It was small and now it's growing. We got a pretty large audience now. So it's fun, man.
Arian Foster joining me in studio. So give me one epiphany. Give me one epiphany during one conversation that you had.
I was talking to my man, and if you haven't checked him out, you need to check him out. His name is Inky Johnson. I played, you've heard of him.
Absolutely love him.
So I played college ball with him and I got him on my podcast. And, he's like the most optimistic human being you'll ever meet. And I'm probably one of the most.
Arian, excuse me. For those who don't know, give them the backstory of Inky, because when you say he's optimistic, it's one thing to be optimistic. It's another to be optimistic with his life.
Right.
And what happened?
Sure. So he was a college athlete just like me. We were in the same, college class and he, ended up hitting a guy, on an onside and, he injured, I couldn't tell you what he injured, but he injured something in his neck and he ended up paralyzing his left arm. And he took that where guys would either curse the sky or curse the whatever it may be. He took that as like an opportunity to grow. And he just remained super optimistic and just the most positive human being you could ever be around. And he developed into a motivational speaker because his optimism just was infectious to everybody around. And when you listen to him speak, you'll see why. And so when I'm talking to him on my podcast, we talk about everything from the NCAA to his life, my life. And the funny thing is we've kind of reached the same conclusions in life, but in different pathways. And I found out through that conversation that I'm like in the turn. I'm a pessimist because I'm an optimist.
Explain that. I like
right,
that.
Right. So I think that people in general are stupid and people in general are, I don't think people are inherently good, but I want them to be. And that's why I'm so pessimistic. And that's why I'm so judgmental off rip is because I'm actually rooting for the good in people. I just don't see it, but I'm rooting for it and I want it. It was a dope moment for me.
So how does he see it? Does he think that people are inherently stupid or dumb or bad or they're inherently good? How would he say that?
I don't want to misrepresent his position, but from what I got from him is I don't think he looks at it like that at all. I think he says, you're where you're at and your journey, and I respect that. And that's what it is. Like, I mean, he's a Christian man, and I'm an atheist, right? And he doesn't look at me like, you're going to hell. He looks at me like, hey, wherever you are on your journey, like, I understand that you're a good human being. He's like, we don't see eye to eye as far as theology is concerned. But, like, you treat me like a brother. I treat you like a brother. You're at where you're at in your journey, and I'm at where I'm at.
He doesn't judge. He doesn't judge.
Kind of Christ-like.
Arian Foster joining us. You said you mentioned he's a man of faith and you're an atheist. Man, you know how social goes, right? You know how social media goes. You like to have conversations on social media. You've got a very open mind. But when you drop that on social, hey, by the way, I'm an atheist. How does that go over?
It's a mixed bag. I think secularism in the United States is kind of growing, really just in general, not just in the country, but it's growing. For the mere fact, I think there's so much information out there now where it's not just your mother or your father, or your community funneling you information. Now you can be interested in whatever you want and then go seek the information that you are interested in. So now it's not like the backlash I got from when I first came out, quote unquote, as an atheist. It's not as harsh now as it is now. And now, like, my following knows about it, and most of my following is pretty secular anyway. But you know, you get your, you know, atheists eat babies, crew,
right?
And then you get your people who are like the opposite too, but like the hardline atheists assert there is no God. I'm not that atheist. I think every, and I try to explain to people, atheism gets misrepresented a lot. It's not an assertion that there is a God. It's just a position that I don't. It's a position on the claim that there is a God that I don't believe that position, but I'm open to it. It'd be cool if there was, but I just doubt it.
Well, that's essentially your thing too. You're open to all this. You're open to all these things. Arian Foster joining me. So we're in studio right now. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you can see the album cover, or if you're listening, you can imagine this. But people who know the title of the album, Flamingo and Koval, they understand that's a reference to Tupac. You and I talked about this. What was it about Tupac that resonated with you so much?
When I was little, there wasn't a lot to hope for. When you're growing up in, you know, bad circumstances, they didn't have a lot of money, turmoil in the household, community just looks bad. Just, you know, you've seen it before, everybody's seen it before. But when you're growing up in those circumstances, there's not a lot to hope for. And like, and so your superheroes kind of are your athletes and your musicians. athletes were pretty PC back then, so they kind of drew the company line when it came to anything political or any kind of things feeling. So when you're looking at a musician that can reach inside of somebody's home and say, I've been where you're at and there's hope. It was just something for me that I sat at home and cried to some of his songs before. Just when you feel like there's nothing out there for you, and he helped me cope through those times.
All right, so when he was shot and killed, how old were you? Do you remember? And what kind of an impact did that have on you, given what you just laid out?
Right, I was 12. I remember exactly where I was. I came home from football practice, actually, and my mom told me. And she was like, as an adult, I understand it now. Like, she was like, oh, son, Tupac died. It's crazy. And I was like, what? Like, my world was like, he's my only poster on the wall.
Right.
My world was, I cried. I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't even understand 100% what death was. You know,
you'll learn. It's all right. I'm glad you're comfortable like that.
But no, I don't. We really.
Like, what's going on, Rome? When you and I last spoke, you were dropping F bombs, and now it's a problem. Come on, Rome.
That's my fault, man.
It's all right, man. I got
we
you.
We lose sponsors.
I got
man.
You.
I'll cover you. But no, we don't really understand what death is now. So. As a child trying to take that in, one of your heroes are falling. It impacts you heavily, and so as an adult, you kind of see his flaws and where he could have been a more impactful human being. But he was such an impactful human being that he still resonates through our culture today.
All right, so I'm looking at the album cover. We're joined right now in studio by Arian Foster, and the album is called Flamingo and Koval. So if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you see this. If you're listening, you can either look this up or imagine it. I'm looking at the cover, and it's really, really aesthetically pleasing. It's interesting. There are two hearts. Right. One looks pretty happy, almost.
Is everything. That's what art is. You interpret it how you feel. So go ahead and shoot.
Yeah, I think that partly it depends where your frame of reference is and where you're coming from. I'm seeing a heart on your shoulder, and he looks pretty happy, or she, or whoever it is, frolicking about, pretty happy. You know, a certain lightness, and the other one is definitely depressed. He's got his hands on his knees. He's got a certain heaviness. The weight of the world on his shoulders. And then I see behind you something a totally different topic, the galaxy. And I know you're about physics now.
Right.
So this is kind of what I'm seeing.
Right. So, yeah.
How did I do?
You did pretty well, man.
Thank you.
You did pretty well. So the thought behind it was the heart that's sitting in the chest is where it's, quote unquote, supposed to be. And the heart that's on the shoulder is where it's not supposed to be. And where you are supposed to be, you're kind of... you kind of distraught, you're depressed, and the one you got that right, and the one that's frolicking, great word, is kind of just happy and freely being about, and it's kind of a metaphor for the entire moniker of Bobby Fino is where what you're doing, whatever you're doing to keep the lights on, where you're supposed to be, usually is something that doesn't fulfill you as a human being, and you're not very happy doing it. But where you're not supposed to be is where you're most free. And I wasn't supposed to be making music. I'm not supposed to be making music, but it's where I look up at 3 a.m. and I have an 8. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's really all I do in my life now is try to inspire people via conversation, via art. It's just trying to get people to go back to that person that you once thought you were, that you weren't once thought you were going to be. It's because it's just not like, so I know we go, we get up, we go to work, we got to pay the bills, but like, you have to step outside of the matrix sometimes and just really look and be like, this is not what life is. Like, it's not about keeping the lights on. It's about enjoying it.
Aaron, there's a lot to unpack there, but this is why you come in here. Let me ask you this then. If you do what you have to do to keep the lights on, and we all do, and in a lot of cases that's not what you should be doing or what you want to be doing, was football to keep the lights on so you could ultimately get to this, and is that not what you necessarily want to be doing?
I mean, as a 31-year-old man, I say, yeah, I understood that I had a talent in playing football, and I fell in love with the sport. Don't get me wrong, but it was something that I felt like I had to do. I always felt like I had to play football. I had to take care of my family. I had to make sure my family was good. I had to make sure my kids were taken care of. And it was never something that when I was a kid, I think I fantasized about being the greatest running back ever. I just wanted to be the best ever. And then as an adult, you kind of realize, or I did anyways, I realized that a lot of the greatest of all time conversations are just barbershop talk. So legacy is just what people think about you in a barbershop. I don't care about what people think about me in a barbershop. And that epiphany hit me like midway through my career. Like, I really don't care what these people think about me, because they're going to think, well, yeah, you could be whoever you want to be. Mother Teresa, you could be Gandhi, and somebody's going to be like, he's a piece of crap. Like, it doesn't matter what these people think about you. So I'm literally breaking my bones to appease other people. Like, I can't do this for much longer. And I knew that I still love the game, but at the end of the day, I knew that it wasn't something that kept me up at night.
Did you love the game, or did you love what it could do for you?
I love the game. Okay. I truly love the game. I did. There was times where I hated it. I got up, went to meetings, and I was on my way to practice. Like, I hate this. I cannot stand this. And then I'll get an outside zone carry. And when I had the ball in my hands, it felt so freeing. And that's what I fell in love with as a kid, because it took me away from the problems and the ails that I was going on, that was going on in my life at the time. And it took me back to that time where I just felt free and I could just escape. So I did love the game, but it didn't fulfill me as a human. I didn't feel like I was adding anything to society.
Aaron Foster joining me in studio. All right, so one of the tracks on the album, A Friend, A Fan, A Kid, right, it's from the perspective of how a friend of yours, a fan of yours, and a kid of yours all view you. Right. So as an athlete, how did you view the relationships in your life?
Right. So, I mean, it's very... the reason why I made that track was because I think I needed a segue, because I think a lot of musical careers that transition from athletes are awful. I'm going to be honest. They're not good. And I think they're not good, not because... art is subjective in general, but I think the reason why the quality isn't there is because people don't give it the thought and the time that artists do. It's their livelihood. And I think you have an off season and you just get in the studio, but like, you don't really put in the thought behind what message are you really trying to convey? What are you trying to give to the masses? And that track is a beautiful segue, in my opinion, from an athlete to a musician. if you look at it, with an open mind. Because it is a really detailed account of how I felt people in as the relationships in my life viewed me. Like, you get that, like a friend of mine, you get that, oh, well, why ain't you talking to me anymore? Oh, you think you're Hollywood now? And then a fan is, oh, you're a dumb athlete, just shut up and play. And then as a kid, it's like, I mean, I love my kids to death, but it's hard to be that dad that's making you peanut butter jelly sandwiches every single day when you got to go out and provide it to a certain level where you never have to worry about where your meal's coming from. Some things that I had to worry about as a kid. So it's balancing all those relationships. That's why you see a lot of abuse in narcotics. You see a lot of abuse with other people in entertainment. It's because those stresses from entertainers weigh heavy on people. And they don't know how to deal with it because they're the breadwinners. They don't have nowhere to go. And so I was lucky enough to, you know, have this avenue where I could express these things. And I always did. And by no means did I walk a perfect life. I had a lot of bumps in the road, man. But I think this stuff kind of helped me keep sane.
Aaron Foster, my guest, his album is coming out right now. In fact, it's already out. You know, before I let you go, one last thought. What do you make, as somebody who's not afraid to exchange thoughts, opinions, share your thoughts, what do you make of the difference between how the NBA and the NFL responds to players speaking out on social injustices? Right. This is something important to you, but there's a definite distinction between these two leagues. What do you make of that?
I think it's indicative of how ownership and league offices view their players. So in the NBA, I think they view their players. I mean, they understand that their players are the product. In the NFL, they don't. I don't think they look at them like that. I think they just kind of look at them like cattle and they'll be replaced. Whereas, I mean, it's true. Don't get me wrong, but it's true in the NBA as well. But I think the NBA understands that the brand of their league is the face, is the faces of these players. And so they keep a good relationship and they say we're partners rather than employer relationship. And I think that that proactive relationship builds character. Amongst everybody. Like if you look at some of the rules or some of the things that the NBA does, they say go be active in social injustice.
They encourage it.
And the NBA, NFL, they shun it. They do shun it, and they tie social activism to anti-Americanism, anti-police, anti-everything, which is the opposite of what is the truth. But I mean, these kind of conversations are important, whether the NFL or the NBA is active or encouraging it or not, because we're all products of the society and we live in the society. So I think you have a responsibility to partake in these conversations and understand the nuances that have everybody up in arms or not. But it's important to have these conversations.
Have the conversation. Yeah. Have an open dialogue. Have the conversation. This debut album is out right now. It's Flamingo and Koval, released under the stage name of Bobby Fino, Arian. So it would seem pretty self-evident and obvious, but not everybody knows how to get something like this. If they want to get the album, how do they go about getting it?
Right. It's on all streaming platforms. So whether you use Tidal, whether you use Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, Pandora, whatever you use, it's on there. Just type in Bobby Fino and it'll pop up. And I appreciate every ear, man. I think if you give it an honest listen within the first track, you'll understand that it's different than any athlete album that you put out. And honestly, it's different than any album that you're going to hear right now, because I care about it. And I use musicians of the highest quality. Like, we do this.
I was going to say, one last thought. You and I talked about this on the podcast. Was that not a concern that people are going to come in with preconceived notions? How good could it be? It's an athlete. I know this guy. I see this guy a certain way. You're trying to get them to come in with a blank slate, right? Mm-hmm. An open mind. Just listen to it and forget who did it.
Right. It's not necessarily looking for them to come up with an open mind, because that's hard. That's hard to do. You have to be a very balanced person, sure, to come up with an open mind. So just listen to it, because I feel like once you hear it, you'll see a distinct difference between, not like I said, not necessarily just athlete albums. I don't think it's a question. It's the best product an athlete has ever put out. That's not even a question, in my opinion. And I'm a humble human, but it's just obvious to me. but when you look at some of the music, it's on par with some of the music today. And the beauty of it is these songs are like 3 or 4 years old. I've been working on this for a while. So like the stuff I'm working on now, I'm gonna continue putting out great music and it's quality. So if you have some time, man, it could be a soundtrack to your life, man.
Flamingo and Koval, Arian Foster, under the stage name of Bobby Fino. My man, so good to get caught up. Really nice to see you here in studio. And I think it's a great piece of art. Really nice to have you. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you, boss.
Appreciate you. Arian Foster doing it in studio this time. We ran fat. We ran long. Sorry about that. But we'll do that for the right guy.